The United States, as you know, has announced that as of the 1st of August, it will impose sweeping 30% tariffs on most South African imports. This includes everything from steel and aluminium to agricultural goods, and it could severely impact farmers, manufacturers, and exporters. Some argue that this is about correcting trade imbalances, while others see it as a political move tied to South Africa's alliances with countries like Russia, China, and Iran, and even its legal case against Israel. Well, to unpack what's really behind this decision and what it means for us, I'm joined now by Gerard Papenfuss, who is the CEO of the National Employers Association of South Africa, or NIASA. Gerard, thank you so much for joining us again on The Home Run. How serious are these US tariffs for the South African economy, and who's most at risk?
Well, Donald Trump has slapped the whole world with a 10% duty, the whole world. And then he slapped countries with extra duties. Even if Japan was hit with additional 27% duty. And in the case of South Africa, generally 30% extra, 10 plus 30, in terms of steel and aluminium, extra 50%. Our motor industry is hit with a 10 plus 25%, which is huge. And there are certain exceptions. The platinum group of metals is excluded because that's the stuff America needs, so didn't put a duty on it. But of course, it's very serious. What it means is then when you export anything under this dispensation, when your product enters the United States, in this case, it puts another 10 plus 30% on the price. So all of a sudden, you're no longer competitive. In terms of steel and aluminium, South Africa is already hit with huge import duties. In other words, when we import duties, these duties go up to 50%, which make us uncompetitive. When we use that, pay that duty, get this steel, and then export it to America, and that's another 40% or another 60%, actually, with the 50 plus 10. You're entirely uncompetitive. So it is serious. For those that is affected by this, it is serious. But everybody will eventually, in terms of what's going to happen with the economy when this happens, it will affect everybody.
You argue that this isn't just about trade, that political factors, including South Africa's case against Israel, may be influencing Washington's response. Can you explain that?
Yeah, when Trump, I'm answering by saying this, when Trump hit Japan when Trump levies a 27% tariff on Japan, for instance, that's trade orientated. So what he says to Japan, let's negotiate. Let's restore trade balance. He's doing it with Canada. He's doing it with the whole world. He's negotiating. But when he does that, in the case of South Africa, that's somewhat different. There's political factors that is at play in South Africa, and I think it will now come to the fore. And you know, when he levied these duties on the whole of Africa, Self-Sahara immediately started to negotiate. You will recall a couple of days ago, African leaders were in Washington, and they were very friendly received by President Trump. Businessmen from the United States offered their help to the Southern African countries with these duties, how to present your case to the United States. That was turned down. South Africa says they haven't received the template, they call it, the template on how to apply for these exemptions. But the fact is, we came back from America, myself and two other gentlemen, Mr. Tudor Yarker and Cornei Mulder, and we said, we were in the White House and we received a very clear message there. There are certain things that you need to do, South Africa, before you want to restore relations with the United States. Now, they haven't, the government prefers, elect, not to take that serious. But I believe that will burn them eventually, because they will have to take it seriously. In this case, South Africa's case is not only trade. There are political issues at stake, and a part of the issues that I've already mentioned in previous discussions with you, there is, of course, this very, very big issue of South Africa's relationship with Iran. They, and then the case against Israel at the International Court of Justice, that is a big thing, huge in America. And that's a bipartisan issue. That's not only a Republican issue. That is also an issue for the Democrats. So this is a big thing. I mean, Mr. Jonas's visa has just been refused. And I believe that's because he's the chairman of MTN. And MTN is Iran's most prominent communications provider. So, you know, the cat is out of the bag. It's there. And South Africa will have to deal with it, and I don't think they can.
Agricultural exports, especially fruit, have been hit hard, even though we don't directly compete with American growers. Why do you think that that sector was targeted?
Well, I don't think it's they targeted. It's more of a matter of not being excluded. But they're not targeted. I think it just happened to be that they're not excluded. They are also eat. But you see, America can import those things from fruit, citrus from other countries like Peru and Chile. But I think there's a lot of hard work ahead in terms of making arrangements, and these industries will contact America directly. I think there's. And I not only think so, I know there's a lot of discussions going on how to make a plan, because government is not helping. Government policy is not helping trade. Let me repeat myself. It was not as if they singled out the citrus industry for tariffs. It's just that they weren't exempted from it. So that's a matter subject for negotiation, which won't help if government do it. The private sector will do it all by themselves.
You mentioned that the ANC's transformation agenda is also a possible barrier to trade normalization. Yeah. How do you see this playing out in negotiations?
Well, America says that they want their companies to be exempted from black economic empowerment. And you know, people say, why only American companies? Well, that's American interest. But when that happens, if American companies is exempted, that will help a lot, because then the Europeans will get onto the bandwagon. They will demand the same, and that will break the dam wall. But the point is, America cannot trade freely. Can you imagine that an American company operating in South Africa is subjected to South African black economic empowerment rules, and for instance, and even further, they will tell American company who to appoint in terms of which color of the person. Now that's illegal in America. Mm-hmm. Then it must be illegal in South Africa for that company. So, you know, it is very stupid, in fact. But that's an obstacle to trade, and America say remove those obstacles. And so that's something that they will have to overcome, and I don't think they can.
Could these duties open the door for better deals with other global partners, or will they push South Africa into further isolation?
Well, you know, of course, when one door is closed, you look for other doors. But in terms of trade, that's not easy. I mean, we export I think the figure is about 6,500 cars. Not 600, about 25,000 cars to the United States annually. 25,000 cars. Value is estimated as 35 billion rand. Now, in the first quarter of the second quarter of this year, that figure has dropped 75% in comparison with the previous quarter in 2024. So can you imagine, I mean, 75% lower sales to the United States.
Wow.
Now, all our cars do not go to the United States, but the point is, you can't replace a market that easily. I mean, all markets are occupied.
Mm.
If all of a sudden you have a certain number of cars that no longer can be sold here, where are you going to take them to? That will take months, even years, to replace a vacuum in a market. If that market is all of a sudden no longer available, where do you get openness, a vacuum in another market? That's not that simple. Of course, you will look for it, but that's not that easy to find there.
Is there a way?
Even if you find it, it takes long to establish that the logistical arrangement to export all of a sudden to another place. Yeah.
Is there a way to reset this relationship with the United States? I mean, what would you like to see the South African government do next?
Well, so, America has stepped to us four things. The issue of farmers, the issue of the chance killed the broker, the farmer, the issue of if land is expropriated, market-related compensation, and of course the exemption of American companies from empowerment ideology. But there's a fifth thing, and that is the issue of Israel, and the ANC is compromised. They is in a relationship with Iran, and I mean there's financial benefit for them out of that, in that relationship. I mean, this story is only now coming out. There's big issues that's going to come into the fore in the months to come. The world is now only starting to realize how deep the ANC is in with Iran. So, and this is big. So if you ask me, how do they restore this? Well, it's simple for me. So is to say, just fix these five things. But these five things go to the heart of the ANC. So I can't see them doing it. So, we know what they must do to fix it. The question is, can they do it?
And is there the political will? That's Gerard Papenfuss, the CEO of the National Employers Association of South Africa. Every time I talk to you, I get more and more depressed. I mean, it's not your fault, but... Well, at least you're on top of it, and we always appreciate you giving your insight and sharing it here on The Home Run. Thank you, Gerard.
Thank you. Thank you, Paula, but I'm not depressed.
Okay. Well, then I won't be either, and we'll just keep having these conversations and find a way forward.